الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل والسمع والطاعة ويقول الحق سبحانه أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون. All praises are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds, and surely the best reward ultimately is for those who have taqwa. And surely there is no animosity except for the oppressor. And I bear witness that Allah is one and has no partners, and that Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, is his servant and his last messenger, and may Allah always and constantly send peace and blessings to Muhammad, to his family, to his companions, to all those who call to his way and establish his sunnah to the day of judgment. As to what follows, I begin by cautioning myself and you to have taqwa, al-khawf wa raja, the consciousness of Allah, that we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet we hope in the mercy of Allah. And that type of quality, that consciousness, is a type of light to light our way in times of darkness. And Almighty Allah subhanahu has revealed in the last testament, in the Quran, in a way that was relevant not only to the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, but will be relevant to believers to the day of resurrection. Allah Azza wa Jalla has revealed, O you who believe, have consciousness of Allah, and let every soul look to what it put forward for tomorrow, and fear Allah. Surely Allah is well aware of all that you do. And be not as those who forgot Allah. And so he made them forget themselves. Surely they are the disobedient ones. And so in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a divine formula that we need to surround ourselves constantly in the awareness of the Creator. Not only on special occasions, but during the week, during the year. Not only on Friday, but every day of the week. And we find ourselves today, alhamdulillah, on the day of Good Friday. And Good Friday, in many parts of the Western world, the masjids are packed with people. And it is a good day. But we have to remember that the Prophet ﷺ informed us over 1400 years ago, using the concept of good. We say Good Friday, khayrun, something which is min al-khayr, from the good things. He told us, khayru yawman talat alayhi shams, yawm al-jum'ah, fihi khuliqa Adam, wa fihi udkhila al-jannah, wa fihi ukhrija minha, wa la taqum as-sa'a illa yawm al-jum'ah. He told us, peace be upon him, the best of the days, the best of the days in which the sun has arisen upon, is the day of Jum'ah. It is the Friday. Because in this day, Adam was created. He was put into Jannah. It was on this day also he left. He had to leave Jannah. He had to leave paradise. And the last day will appear, it will happen on the day of Jum'ah. The Prophet ﷺ also told us, Sayyid al-Ayyam, Yom al-Jum'ah. The master of all days is Jum'ah. It is the master of your days. He also told us in speaking about this and lengthening this, أَعْذَمُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَأَعْذَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْفِطْرِ وَيَوْمِ الْأَضْحَى. He said, not only is it the master of your days, it is the greatest day in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is actually a greater day than Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Every single Jum'ah is actually more important to us and has a greater weight in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than even the day of Eid, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, which is Sunnah Mu'akkadah. It's a strong Sunnah. But this one, every week, is one that we should observe constantly. So we need to make the intention to try to come to the Jum'ah Salat. No matter where we are, and we are blessed in the GTA to have masajid all over our area, places where it is available for Muslims to keep up this most important duty on the day of Jum'ah. The Prophet ﷺ spoke about the qualities of Jum'ah, that in it there is sa'a mustajaba. There is an hour in this time when a believer who turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has purified himself or herself, and they turn to Allah, their prayers can be answered. We don't know exactly which time, but the time exists. So it is a day also to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also need on this day to focus on Surah Al-Kahf, on the chapter of the cave. In it there is great wisdom. There is great movement. There is movement in this chapter. Musa alayhi salam moving through the land seeking knowledge. Dhu Qarnayn, the great king, moving in this time, in this chapter. And also the companions of the cave themselves, who traveled, who fled with their faith from an evil king in order to maintain their tawheed, their belief in one God. And so Surah Al-Kahf, it is critical for us to go through this chapter, to study this chapter on this day. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man qara'a Surah Al-Kahf fi yawm al-Jum'ah adaa'a lahu min an-nur ma bayna al-Jum'atayn." He said, whoever reads Surah Al-Kahf on the day of Jum'ah, a light will appear, a light of guidance and blessings will appear, which will last until the next Jum'ah. And so Surah Al-Kahf is crucial for us to read on this day. But today is Good Friday. And for many people coming into the Western world, many Muslims not aware of the culture here, it's a little bit confusing on this day. Because people say Good Friday, yet they are talking about a death and a crucifixion. And Muslims are a little confused sometimes about our own position with Isa alayhi salam, with Jesus, the son of Mary, peace be upon him, a mighty messenger of Allah. And the confusion comes initially, culturally, that people say Good Friday, yet the symbols of Good Friday are fertility symbols of the spring. Eggs, rabbits, flowers, chickens, things that give you a concept of life, life being reborn. That is the time that we're living in, and no doubt, naturally outside, we are witnessing a miracle. After living through the vortex, the polar vortex, after living through that, especially here in Canada, in the middle of the vortex, it is said on one of the days, Winnipeg was colder than the planet Mars. So after living through the vortex, things are dying, our trees covered with ice, falling down on our houses, turning off all the power. Now, alhamdulillah, it's starting to turn green. It's like a miracle. And the trees and the plants that you thought were dead are coming back to life. The birds who had more intelligence than people and went south during the time of the vortex, they are now returning to Canada. So the birds that are around you on your trees, you can hear them again. So it's like a miracle that we are living in. And those people who worship nature, those people who base their religion on nature, this is the spring solstice. So for them, it was life after death. Resurrection. It's a time of resurrection. And that was the society, that was the cult that controlled all of the northern areas. When the teachings of Jesus, peace be upon him, came to the northern areas, that was the society in charge. Their symbols, one of their main symbols, was a symbol of a cross. It is a symbol of eternal life. It was used by the ancient Egyptians, the ancient Romans, and we find it in many parts of the world. They had hot cross buns. They would cook wheat food and put a cross on it because it symbolized life after death. That is the theme. And so when the followers of Isa alayhi salam, suffering and being tortured by the Romans, came to the northern areas, a new religion evolved, which was a combination of the teachings of Isa alayhi salam, who was Jewish, who followed the law of Moses. He never went against the law. A combination of that belief in one God and the nature religion formed the new concepts that we see today. And with this knowledge, we are able to unravel what is happening around us. Our younger people today can, you know, have a better chance not to be confused. Look up the concept of the Trinity. And you will see that the ancient Egyptians had a Trinity. And Horus was the son of Osiris. They had a Trinity. And Isis was the mother. The ancient Indians had a Trinity. But in Europe, there was a cult of Mithra. Look up the word Mithra. An interesting individual who was worshipped in the ancient lands. According to the ancient belief, thousands of years ago, he was born on December 25th. He sacrificed himself for humanity. He was crucified and buried in a tomb. His followers put ashes on their head on the Wednesday before the weekend. He was resurrected from the tomb. His holy day was not Saturday, Yom HaSabbat, the Sabbath, but his holy day was Sunday, the day of the Son, who they believe was his Father. And so this confusion, that individual has superseded, has replaced the original teachings of Isa alayhi salam. And is the Muslims, it is the last testament that we are holding in our hearts and in our minds that can give the true story of Isa alayhi salam that people deserve to hear. They deserve to hear it in a beautiful way, to be taught to people about that. And that is khair. Let's go back to Good Friday, khair. The Prophet ﷺ said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. He said, the best of you are the ones who learn the Qur'an and they teach it. What would be so important and good about that teaching now? In the story of Jesus, we find the most misrepresented, confusing story, misunderstood person in the whole of history. And so the Quran mentions Isa 25 times. It mentions Al-Masih, the Messiah, 11 times. It mentions Ibn Maryam, calling him the son of Mary, peace be upon them both, 23 times. It's mentioned in the Quran. So it is not only a teaching for Muslims themselves, but for the people of the book. In Surah Ali Imran, The third chapter alone, it has 83 verses to clear up the misunderstandings about Isa alayhi salam. 83 of the verses in Surah Ali Imran. And so, what is it that happened with Isa alayhi salam? The Quran gives us a picture of this individual. Is this individual a Mithra type individual? The Quran says in the 5th chapter, verse 75, مَا الْمَسِيحُ بْنَ مَرْيَمَ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقَةٌ كَانَ يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ أُنْذُرْ كَيْفَ نُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُمَ الْآيَاتِ ثُمَّ انْذُرْ أَنَّا يُؤْفَكُونَ. Allah tells us the Messiah, the son of Maryam, was no more than a messenger. Many were the messengers that passed away before him. His mother, Maryam, was a truthful woman who confirmed the truth. And they both used to eat food. Look what the Quran says. They both used to eat food. Then it continues, look how we make the proofs and signs clear to them. And then look how they turn away. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. He said she was a truthful woman. She was siddiqah. And she ate food. He ate food. Can a god eat food? No. So the Quran shows clearly that they were human beings, part of Bani Adam. But people will say, and it is our belief, that the angel Jibreel alayhi salam came to Maryam. She used to fast and pray and spent her time alone in i'tikaf. And the angel came and said, you will have a son. She said, how can I have a son? I'm not married. And he told her, by the power of God, by the power of Allah. And Allah breathed His word and His spirit into Mary, and she became pregnant. It was a miracle. But people who had a Trinity concept, the ancient Egyptian concept, the ancient Mithra concept, they said, there's your proof. If he has no physical father, then God is his father. The Quran also clears this up in the last testament. In the 59th verse in Surah Ali Imran, Allah tells us, in the Mathala Isa, عند الله كمثل Adam, خَلَقَهُ مِن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُن فَيَكُونَ. The Quran says, verily, surely the likeness of Jesus with Allah is like Adam. He created him from clay, created him from dust, and then he said, be and it is. So the Quran responds and says, yes, he was born with a divine conception, but the fact that he had no mother does not make him the son of God or God. It is only shows the power of Allah. Because if he was the son of God, then who is Adam? He has no father and no mother. So the Quran says, that's your proof. It is just like Adam alayhi salam. And so Isa spoke from the cradle. He defended his mother. His life was miracles. He made the blind to see by the power of Allah. He made the crippled to walk by the power of Allah. He cured leprosy by the power of Allah. And this frightened the authorities. And they conspired against him. And he gathered his followers together who were living in fear. And a ma'idah came, a table spread, a table filled with food. And they ate from it. But the Romans came. And by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the Romans came and looked at the group, they captured an individual, took him to the court, questioned him, made him carry a cross, and crucified him. But the Quran tells us in the last testament, it was not Jesus. The Quran tells us, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. They did not kill him, they did not crucify him, but it was made to appear to them that they did. And so Isa alayhi salam was raised. When the Romans came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angel Jibreel alayhi salam and Malaika, and they raised him through side the side of the window and took him up into the third heaven. And it is interesting that in taking him up, and you look at his life, he lived to be approximately 33 or 34 years old. Ibn Asakir, one of the great scholars of Islam, of Tafsir, he said, "It has reached me that Maryam," that's his mother, "she lived for 5 years after Isa was raised, and then she died at the age of 53 years old. Isa was 33 or 34 when he was raised, and Ibn Asakir also mentions that the age of people in paradise, all of the people in paradise will be 33 years old. That's your prime state. So if you're 33 years old, you're not old yet. That is the prime of life. And that will be the age, inshallah, of the people of Jannah. And I pray that all of us, inshallah, can be part of that group. Isa alayhi salam, according to our traditions, is alive. And it is close to his descent. Because every human being must die. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Allah said, every soul must taste death. And when he comes, according to authentic tradition, he will descend at the white minaret in Damascus, in Syria. So never forget Syria. Never blot that out of your mind, what is happening to the Syrian people. Never blot that out of your mind, the importance of Damascus. Because it is the site of the descent of Isa alayhi salam. Following this, the Dajjal, the Antichrist, who is near, will be causing confusion around the earth. And it is Isa alayhi salam who will slay him, according to our beliefs, at Bab al-Lud in Philistine, where the airport is. Right around that area of Lud. Slay him in this area, the Antichrist, who's causing confusion all over the world. Then Isa alayhi salam will live out his life. A beautiful story for those who want to investigate this in the signs of the last days in our hadith book. He will live out his life and be buried, inshallah, in Medina. They are waiting for him in Medina. O you who believe, it's Good Friday. It's a beautiful Friday, like all of our Fridays. But let us think now about some key issues. Number one, let us try to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is so difficult in these material times. But let us try to get closer to our Creator. Reading the Quran, not just like parrots, but with meaning. Read it for the knowledge of the Quran, for the guidance. That's what we need today. Also, try to be around righteous people. Be around people who pray. Around people who fast and are righteous. And then it will be easy for you and me to pray. Try to surround our lives, fill our lives with halal activities. Try to avoid the things where the doubt is in it. Avoid that wherever we can. Focus on character. Character is so important now for Muslim. Not just to be Muslim in our name. That's happened in many parts of the world. Today we need Muslims who live Islam. Who walk the walk and not just talk the talk. And the Prophet ﷺ said, and speaking about families, how important our families are, again, the theme of goodness, he said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. He said to the men, the best of you is the one who's best to his family. And I am the best to my family. So character, he said, character is the bottom line for us that we should focus on in these crucial times. Healthy, empowered families. Healthy, empowered families. Back to the theme of khair, the Prophet ﷺ said, khairun nikah aysaruhu. He said the best of marriage is one which is simple and not complicated. Don't make marriage complicated. Make it simple. That's the best nikah. Follow directly from the words of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salam. Don't get caught up in your culture. If the culture is against our teachings, leave it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shura. Number five is shura. Mutual consultation. We need better communication in our families, in our community, in our societies. We need to talk to each other. Share information. Take advice from anybody who can give you advice. And this should lead us to unity. Operational unity. Let us unite as we unite in prayers. We need to unite all the time during the year. Number six, a special emphasis on those who have been left out of Islamic activities. The youth, especially between 12 years old and about 21, 22, in many communities, there's no activities for them. What's going to happen to our teenagers and our youth? Special activities for them. Also, special emphasis and activities for the physically challenged people in our community. There are people who do not have the capacity to hear. They are deaf, but intelligent. They may be handicapped. They cannot walk properly, but intelligent and have something to give. So all of our activities should include physically challenged people as well. And number seven, outreach, a dawah to ilallah. And that will come about with 3 points: education, empowerment, and engagement. Three E's: education, empowerment, engagement. So we educate ourselves, we learn our Islam properly, go back to the authentic sources, and then we empower ourselves with skills. Not only men, but empower women. Empower the youth with skills development training. So we're not afraid to talk to people in society. Engagement. Engage society. And I leave you with one important engagement activity, and that is an issue now facing everybody. It is the environment. And it is important for us to join hands with anybody who is working to preserve the environment, to pressure our governments to handle their themselves with carbon dioxide, to cut down carbon dioxide release, and to green the earth, and to assist people who are in need of that. And in Canada, we need to save the fresh water. The fracking of our oil, it is a danger to the environment. Danger to our fresh water that we are so blessed with. So any way we can assist, we need to be involved in this. And if you see brothers and sisters mobilizing in the Green Campaign, try to be involved with them as much as you can. Reach out to your neighbors. Let people know in a nice way what is the story, the true story in the Last Testament of Isa alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this knowledge and give us empowerment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to engage the society. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the weak of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on the children of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah have mercy and protect the honor and dignity of the women of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah protect and give and strength and leadership to the men of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give us in our Muslim world a leader to take our confused political leaders from darkness into light. And let us be with him inshallah and with those who will stand for the truth. Let our last words be our best words. May our last words be kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfiru li wa lakum wa li sa'ili muslimin min kulli dhanbin istaghfiru innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Alhamdulillah, al-wahid al-ahad al-fard al-samad alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad wa usalli wa usallim ala khatam al-anbiya'i wa mursaleen nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in wa ba'd. Ya ibadullah, ittaqullah haythuma kuntum wa yaqulu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inna li kulli umma fitna wa fitna tu ummati al-mal. Every nation has a trial and test, and the trial and test of this nation is wealth. Too little, too much. May Allah protect us in this fitna that we are going through as a nation. And may Allah also remind us, or may Allah give us the blessings of this day. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وارض الله عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبو بكر عمر عثمان وعلي وعنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا ميتا إلا رحمت ولا ميتا إلا رحمت ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا إلا قضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين عباد الله يرحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقم الصلاة